A fascinating week of trades, if I may say so. Welcome to the show on Friday, July 30th, right? 31st.
Deadline day.
What am I doing here? Hey, we're done with July. We're two-thirds through the baseball season, and what a fun week. Can you guys remember a trade deadline like this?
It's been a long time.
I can't remember, but I also have trouble remembering like what I had for lunch yesterday, so that doesn't mean anything.
What's really wild to me, and we saw it again with this Astros trade, the team most known for hoarding its prospects in recent years just traded its best one for a couple of very flawed players, and that's what seems to be happening all of a sudden again. Like it's like the value for prospects is suddenly down to where it was 10, 15 years ago. After the last couple of years, I'd gotten used to the idea that, you know, a kind of semi-stud Hanley Ramirez type is only going to fetch like a couple third-tier prospects, not like these high-end ones we see getting traded.
Well, we will go through all of the trades and talk about who has gained value, who has lost value. I think Mike Leake could be in for, a nice change going to San Francisco. That's going to be a bit of an underrated trade, but maybe it's big for fantasy. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com is our email address. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line, and we'll do DFS a little bit later. Today's going to be a bit of a different show. We'll of course, talk about the trade deadline, who else could get moved before the 4 p.m. Eastern Time deadline today. And I want to start out with closers, new closer situations, because not only do we have a lot of trades, we also have Jairus Familia blowing saves. We have Chicago, the Cubs, that is looking weird. We have Toronto in a committee, potentially. So I want to get your takes on a bunch of different bullpens. And then we're going to look at the last 28 days, some trends that I've noticed that I think are interesting, and find out what you guys think are interesting. Here we go. Who are the new closers? Some of these we know, some of these we don't. Let's just say what you think or what you know. New closer in Atlanta.
1, 2, 3. Arodis Vizcaíno.
Hey, all right.
One for one.
They pretty much said it was him when they gave the job to Jim Johnson. Oh, but Arodis Vizcaíno is next. So it's like you knew it was a matter of time.
0 to 10 on the Atto meter for Arodis Vizcaíno.
I'll give him a 4. I like him in pretty much any league where saves aren't pretty easy to grab off of waivers.
I like him about as much as I like Johnson. The Braves have been, because they're such a low-scoring team, they've given their guys saves, so I'll give him an 8.
Give me a closer in Detroit.
Alex Wilson.
It seemed to be him.
Yeah.
But Brad Ausmus said, you know, he's got to earn it first. They don't really have a closer right now, but I feel like he's probably the best candidate.
They certainly don't have anybody who really looks like a closer. Kind of, foreshadowing my Attometer.
Oh yeah, Attometer.
Like a 2.
For what it's worth, I guessed it would be Al Albuquerque before last night, but he pitched much earlier than the 9th and was terrible.
And Wilson, for what it's worth, 2 years in a row with a sub-2 ERA, not a big strikeout guy, but good ERA last year with Boston and this year with Detroit. So Attometer is a 2 for Al. Philadelphia, let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3. Mitch
Ken
Williams.
Giles.
Oh, yeah, Ken Giles. Okay, got to add him. He has 2 saves already. Colorado, what do you think?
Yeah, I suppose maybe it could be Rafael Betancourt at some point.
At some point. Axford's been atrocious. I don't know that they're there yet. Tommy Conley, I think, is an option too, but I'm kind of not really counting on either of those guys.
San Diego, if Craig Kimbrell gets traded.
Well, I would like to say Joaquin Benoit, but I think his chances of getting traded are about as good. So after that, I'm really not sure. So I guess at least in the short term, I'll say Benoit.
But if the Yankees trade for Craig Kimbrell, I will smash something. What a stupid trade that would be. And it's a hot rumor. And
well, depending on what they'd have to give up.
It's important for fantasy because I don't know who the closer would be.
I mean, I would hope it'd be Andrew Miller, but yeah, maybe not.
Craig Kimbrell wouldn't be the closer.
I think it would be Kimbrell.
It would have to be Kimbrell.
I don't think it's going to happen, but if it does, what a dumb trade that would be.
Well, if that's the route, then I have to agree with you. Even if they don't give up much.
Cincinnati, if Chapman gets moved.
J.J. Hoover.
Nobody does it like him.
Sucking up saves.
Toronto. Roberto Osuna got the save last night.
And he'll get the saves forevermore.
I thought it was going to be a committee with Norris, or with Sanchez, excuse me.
Well, it was sort of unclear because the quote that I saw was they would split the eighth and ninth inning roles, which kind of sounds like committee, but it could also just mean that they're assigned those roles.
Yeah.
I was never really sure what it meant, to be honest.
Okay. So Osuna would be your preference?
Yes.
How about Oakland? Do we know?
Mujica.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Mujica.
Yeah, but he could get traded too, or he could just be terrible because he pretty much has been.
I blanked on that one. I apologize. Chicago, Hector Rondon has gotten two straight.
Yeah. I guess you have to lean him based on that, but it's basically a coin flip between him and Mott, I feel like.
And the Mets. Jeyris Familia has blown three straight since the All-Star break. They probably should have taken him out after a 45-minute or so rain delay. He got the first two outs, then the big rain delay, and then he gave up a three-run homer. But they have Clippard now. So what do you think about the Mets?
Yeah, you know, I could see it being Clippard. I don't really think it should be. But I could see this just being the kind of situation where Familia just is slumping at the wrong time. And loses the role. But I actually think he'd be better than Clippard, you know, if you could, like, do a side-by-side experiment.
Okay. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. People need their closers. Now you need your stat of the day. Matt Carpenter. Tell me how much you buy into this. Matt Carpenter, 4-for-5 with 2 home runs, a double, 4 RBI, 4 runs scored yesterday against Colorado. He says, quote, "I'd be lying if I said I wasn't comfortable there. It's not to say that I can't hit in other positions. Today might have bought myself a couple more games there," and that's end quote. And where is he talking about? The leadoff spot.
Leadoff, yeah.
Batting .370, .437, .696.
I didn't know that was a rhetorical question. Sorry.
I was getting there. Good job, though. Carpenter loves batting leadoff. Now, it should be noted, last year he didn't bat particularly well, and that was pretty much spent the entire year there. But this year, .370, .437, .696 in 22 games with 6 of his 12 home runs coming as a leadoff hitter. What do you think?
I have a hard time believing it makes that big of a difference. I think more than anything, it's just they happened to move him to the second spot, like right at the time he fell into the slump, which was right about the time he missed that time with extreme fatigue and you know, a heartbeat issue, right? And just hasn't been the same since. Hopefully, he's starting to get back on track now after... I mean, there have been a few signs before this one monster game, but can't say for sure that he is over it yet.
All right, let's talk trades. David Price goes from Detroit to Toronto. 4 pitchers: Daniel Norris, Jairo Laborte.
I'm gonna guess the T is silent. Labor? I actually tried to find the pronunciation online and failed.
Yeah, well, you failed all of us. And Matt Boyd. So,
all lefties.
Let's start with David Price. Value up, down are the same. Career at Rogers Center. He is 7-0, but he's a .386 ERA.
Well, and I pointed out pretty quickly after the trade on Twitter that he doesn't have very good numbers there. A 3.86 ERA and a 1.7 home runs per nine, and about 10 people all at once said, "He doesn't have to face the Blue Jays anymore, you dummy," without saying "you dummy." but I still, you know, if it were like 1.2 homers per nine, I think I'd be swayed by the argument, but that's a lot of home runs in a pretty decent sample size. And he is a fly ball pitcher and more of one now, I think, than he's ever been.
And it's not like the Blue Jays, he hasn't faced the Blue Jays 9 times this year. You know, it's different Blue Jays teams. They've had good lineups, but not this good.
Yeah, and that's a good point as well.
I mean, I don't see him being that, like, over the course of time, being that bad of a home run.
Well, I don't either. Like I said, if it was, you know, 1.1, 1.2, I'd be like, oh, no big deal. He's facing a good team in a tough hitting environment. But I'm sorry, Scott.
The stock's down, but it's like, you know, maybe down, he drops behind Madison Bumgarner down. It's not like he drops behind, you know, like
Cole Hamels?
No.
All right.
Not for me.
No, not for me either.
How about the Tigers side of the trade? Getting Norris, who's going to start Sunday against Detroit, getting LeBoer and Matt Boyd. Those guys are going to be in the minors. But Norris, you want to pick him up in any leagues?
As a Sparp, I'd be interested in picking him up. And that's the only reason. He does have a lot of upside. He's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. I know it seemed like on Twitter a lot of Tigers fans were disappointed with this return. I know one in particular got it in his head somehow that they were going to get Julio Urias from the Dodgers, which I don't know what planet he was living on thinking that, but Norris is a top pitching prospect. He hasn't pitched like it this year, has some control issues, but he's learning. Matt Boyd actually has been the one who's been great in the minors this year, so I'm a little surprised they didn't go with him instead. I might be a little more interested in picking him up in non-Sparp situations, but I like them both. I think they'll both be mixed league relevant eventually.
Yeah, I don't, because I think Buck Farmer is still in the rotation, even with the addition of Norris, so I think Boyd could be up pretty soon.
Buck Farmer is starting tonight. He's slated to start tonight against the Orioles. Oh, you know we're going to talk about that when we talk about FanDuel a little bit later. More trades, people! Mike Leake going from Cincinnati to San Francisco for infielder Adam Duvall and pitcher... Oh, this is what I hate about the trade deadline. Kiuri Mella.
I think that is correct.
All right, why not? So Tim Hudson's going to be out of the Giants rotation most likely, and Leake, this year, so much better on the road, 2.28 ERA. Last year, he actually was better at home. 2 years ago, 2.81 ERA on the road. And in his career, Leake's ERA is nearly a full run lower on the road away from Cincinnati. And in his five appearances at AT&T Park, he's 4-0 with a 2.59 ERA, for what that's worth. Value up, down, or the same? And am I crazy for doing a happy dance with Mike Leake?
Not crazy. I cannot think of a player who's been more positively affected by a trade than Mike Leake. And it won't necessarily show up that way because he's been really good now for about a month, mm-hmm. but I haven't really believed it. But if he maintains what he's done for the past month over the rest of the season, I would not be surprised now because of the splits that you mentioned.
Hector Oliveira wasn't more positively affected?
Okay. Maybe a player who already...
Got him on the technicality, people.
Yeah. Gotcha. Scott's being a literalist.
You know, the thing, like, Leake's biggest problem over the years has been his home run rate. And he goes from the most homer-happy stadium to one of the least homer-happy. I don't know if it is the very least, but it's near the bottom.
Yeah, bottom two or three for sure. Yeah.
That seems like a really good thing. I'd kind of been thinking of Leake as a fly ball pitcher because of the home run rate, and he's not.
He's not, yeah.
And you look at the home away splits for his career, yeah, there's a big difference in ERA. There's not a big difference in home run rate. So I can't say his stock's not up with this move. I'm just not sure it's going to be this situation that makes him, you know, someone we can value on the level of like what John Lackey's been this year. I'm not sure about that. He probably does deserve to be picked up in the leagues where he is still available. But I don't know that we can count on him being universally owned all season.
Right. Okay. Well, he's not a stud or anything. But this does help, certainly, for Mike Leake.
You just look at his season numbers. It's kind of surprising, based on where he ranks among starting pitchers, that he is still 15% owned or whatever it is.
15% unowned, you mean?
I think there's a lot of people who, even before this trade, were inclined to believe Leake is more valuable than we were anyway.
Well, he's 82% owned. So, yeah, he's 18% unowned. Detroit sent Joaquin Soria to Pittsburgh, so you can drop Soria now, right?
Yes.
Okay, and we talked about the closer situation in Detroit. The Yankees acquired Dustin Ackley for outfielder Ramon Flores and pitcher Jose Ramirez. Okay.
Now, I've got a question for you, because I saw this tidbit, and I thought about what I had written about Ackley before the season, that I thought he was a breakout candidate because he was hitting for more power late last season. He was pulling the ball more. And, of course, he hasn't had a good season at all this year, and he's lost regular playing time. But the pattern remains that he's become a much more pronounced pull hitter. And so I think going to Yankee Stadium could be a great thing for him. And then what I tweeted out was he's one injury away from having steady playing time. somebody responded to me, no, Aaron Judge is one injury away from playing time. So, Yankee fan, I think Ackley is still the more likely fill-in for the inevitable injury.
At what position?
What say you?
At what position?
Well, in the outfield, like Beltran would.
Oh, in the outfield? Like, okay, I was thinking second base.
Couldn't he just become the second baseman?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, it's Stephen Drew homers, and that's it. And then they'll put in Brendan Ryan against lefties. But I think his path to playing time might be clearer at second base.
I hadn't even really thought of him going back to second base, but it's not like, at least from what I remember about his defensive numbers, it's not like they moved him to the outfield because he wasn't good enough for second base.
It was because of Robinson Cano.
Yeah.
Right. And you got Chris Young in the outfield, so I think if Beltran gets hurt, that probably would be their solution, even against
righties. But the platoon.
Yeah, they have gone with him even against righties.
They wouldn't have to now.
They wouldn't have to. I don't know. There has been no buzz about Aaron Judge coming up.
Yeah, and I have sort of a bias against thinking that way because the Yankees do seem to be very conservative about bringing up prospects.
If there's a prospect that could be coming up, it could be Jose Perella with the Pineda injury. But yeah, they are pretty conservative with their prospects.
You mean
Severino?
Severino?
Yeah. Excuse me. Luis Severino. Jeez. Yeah, so I think Ackley, I'm not really interested, but they do seem to think that his swing could be good for Yankee Stadium. But nobody's picking him up, right?
I'll look for him in deeper leagues.
Okay, yeah. Now, Houston, why did I wait so long to get to this one? Houston acquired Mike Fiers, Carlos Gomez, and cash from Milwaukee for outfielders Domingo Santana and Brett Phillips and pitchers Josh Hader and Adrian Hauser. Phillips is the elite prospect you were referring to, right, Scott?
Yes, he is. He was Baseball America released mid-season top tens for every team, and he was number one for the Astros, and I believe he was in the top 25 overall. So yeah, it's a big deal.
Okay, what do you guys think about Fiers, Gomez, and all the guys going to Milwaukee this year?
All right, I'm going to let Scott correct me on this one, but I can't think of a player who's been more negatively affected than Mike Fiers, because I'm not even sure he's going to be a starter.
Well, let's see if he is a starter before we jump to that conclusion.
How about Joaquin Soria, Al?
Well, all right, well, I did, first of all, Joaquin Soria. Okay, you got me.
Yeah, thank you. Technicality. Technicality, police.
Such an easy game. But back to Fiers. Well, first of all, I did see it reported, I think it was Bob Nightingale, that the Astros are debating whether or not to put him in the bullpen. So it is more than just conjecture.
Okay.
And when you look at the situation, I think he will start at some point, but it's going to be a situation where I think he's going to be kind of the release valve to curtail McCullers innings. And that's not good for either pitcher.
I'm surprised they're so firm on having Scott Feldman in the rotation, and I'm surprised they want, because they seem to really value Fiers. Like I'd read that they weren't going to include Brett Phillips, their top prospect, unless the Brewers included Mike Fiers. So you don't trade your top prospect for a swingman. I don't feel like, but I mean, I can't. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Because yeah, if Fiers is no longer a starter, then that's going to negatively affect his fantasy value. If I was the Astros, I might just go ahead and put McCullers in the bullpen because, you know, at least then you have him for the rest of the season.
Maybe a few more starts. Maybe let him get the innings up, I don't know, 20, 30 maybe, more or something.
But then, then you're having to shift other guys around to compensate for it and just make the one move and keep everyone else in the role.
But if you shut down McCullers now, then you have to worry about him next year.
Shutting him down. You're putting him in the bullpen
as a two or three inning guy. All right. Carlos Gomez, value up, down, or the same?
I'd say slightly up because of the better lineup. I have to wonder, okay, and again, totally conjecture here, but I wonder if maybe there was some validity to the Mets injury concern, because how do you explain Gomez's season?
Absolutely. Chris Towers talked about this yesterday. He had a hip injury.
Yeah, so I don't know, Scott Boras, why that would be.
Go ahead.
I guess there was some there were some eternal skeptics out there that are saying it was only financial reasons, but I don't know. I mean, he missed time with a hip injury. I think it was completely reasonable that they'd be concerned about his hip.
Yeah.
And it's really not that much money either. So, you know, $9 million for him next year, that's really not that much for the Mets. So, I don't buy that. All right, Gomez slightly up, according to Al. Scott, what do you think?
Just with the move. I don't think it's really that big of a difference. I'm just worried about Gomez in general. I feel like because of his poor plate discipline, he's the kind of player who could age faster than, you know, what his age actually is. And we may be seeing it this year because power hasn't really been there. Maybe it's been injuries. I don't know that that's really going to make me feel better if that's the case, though, because it's getting to a point where he's going to get injured more, too. That's why I'm kind of surprised a team like the Astros would make this kind of move.
Do the prospects going back to Milwaukee see the field this year?
Santana, probably.
Okay. Yeah,
he already has.
Yeah.
Well, I mean for Milwaukee, yeah.
Yeah.
And are you interested in him?
I don't know. He's not such a high-end prospect that I feel like the moment he gets a job, I'm rushing to pick him up. But clearly has some power potential and was decent in the chances he got with the Astros this year.
Okay, that's Domingo Santana. The White Sox acquired infielder Justin Sellers from Pittsburgh. And the Marlins, Dodgers, and Braves completed their three-team deal. So Latos and Wood joined the Dodgers rotation. Michael Morse is a Dodger. Jim Johnson is a Dodger. Bronson Arroyo, Luis Avilan, and Jose Peraza. Miami gets three minor league pitchers. Atlanta gets Hector Olivera. Is he going to be in the lineup immediately for the Braves?
Well, he's recovering from a hamstring injury. And I've tried to find an update on his status as far as that goes. I don't think it's going to be immediate, but it's as soon as that's no longer an issue. I mean, they only have, he's already 30 years old, and they just gave up Alex Wood and their closer for him, so, and their top prospect. So I would say so.
Injuries, news and notes. Michael Pineda's on the DL with a forearm strain. They compared it to Andrew Miller's injury. Off the top of my head, I think that was about a month, maybe a little more. So I don't think this is like a season ender for Pineda, but it stinks, and he hasn't been pitching well, so maybe this is an explanation. So anyway, Adam Warren maybe could see his way back into the rotation. He's relief pitcher eligible. Something to consider. Devin Travis had a cortisone shot in his shoulder. Edwin Encarnacion was available to pinch hit. Brandon Morrow, he had to be scratched from his rehab start because of the shoulder issue, and he's going to have that checked out. It's been a tough go of it for Morrow. Trevor Plouffe's on the paternity list. He should be back on Saturday. Byron Buxton is nearing a rehab assignment. Gregory Polanco is back in the Pittsburgh lineup. Corey Dickerson, tough year for him. He has a rib contusion. He left yesterday's game. Calling him day-to-day for now. Mike Trout is back. Matt Holliday is on the DL. Pablo Sandoval was hit by a pitch on the wrist. This was so painful looking. He swung at a pitch from Chris Sale. Was called out on strikes to end the inning. And that pitch hit him like square in the wrist. It was, tough at bat there. So he's out. He's day to day, I guess. We'll see what the prognosis is. Three new faces. Two new and one returning. Shane Victorino led off for the Angels. Do you think that gives him any value if he continues to lead off for them? 10% owned, I think.
Is he going to be an everyday player now? Because I know that was a left-hander they were facing yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understood that he was going to be the lesser side of a platoon.
Okay.
With, I think it was with David Murphy.
Yeah, all right, well, that makes sense. Ben Zobrist started in left field. He batted six for the Royals at the Blue Jays. And Jed Lowry, 38% owned, shortstop eligible, started at third base. He batted fifth for Houston.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting set of puzzle pieces there, because Valbuena played first. Carter, I think, DH'd. And I'm pretty sure there was no Gattis in the lineup.
Yeah, Gattis did sit.
So I imagine that's a situation where, you know, there could be four or five different people who lose, you know, maybe a game a week with Lowry back.
It's time for a series of relevant emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This email is from Danny.
I'm glad they're not irrelevant emails.
No, you want to make sure they're relevant for all the people out there. Danny asks, can you discuss the fab bidding for the players who have changed leagues this week in AL only or NL only?
Okay. There have been a lot more going to the AL. I don't know that this is the best approach, but what the main thing in these leagues that I don't want is to be shut out this time of year. I want to go all in for one of the studs getting traded, so I went all in for Johnny Cueto because he was the first one traded, and regretted it the next day when Troy Tulowitzki was traded. But again, at least I'm not one of the handful of teams that aren't going to get any stud just immediately inserted into their lineup. So I don't know if that's the kind of general answer you're looking for, but I would probably, at risk of getting shut out, I would put it all in for
Hamels or
Hamels
Gomez.
If he hasn't. Has he cleared yet?
He hasn't.
He hasn't.
I
probably
actually
Hamels
just checked.
With Gomez as a second choice. I don't think I'm missing anybody.
Now he might be talking about. I wonder if he's talking about weekly fab and if it includes, you know, players that have been traded, you know, within 2 or 3 days, like Tulo and Cueto.
If it's weekly fab, then yeah, Tulo would probably be my top priority.
Yeah,
right?
Mine too, and then probably Cueto after that.
Yeah, tough call between him and Hamels. I might go Hamels, but I could understand the argument for Cueto.
Okay. No, so it is a good thing to save your money for this time of year. Nolan, how about an NL only? I'm sorry, before we get to Nolan's email. Who you bidding on an NL only?
Gosh. Well, if it's weekly, then Reyes is still out there. Jose Reyes.
Yeah.
Is there anybody bigger than that?
I can't think of anybody else.
You just go, how about, Hector Oliveira?
Yeah, but I would imagine in an NL only league, he was already owned.
I have no idea.
If not, then
sure. Just, I'm trying to think of crossovers, and I can't think of any other impact ones. Maybe I'm missing somebody, but can't think of anybody going to the NL besides Reyes.
This guy, Anu, it might be available. You could look to some of the bullpen situations,
right.
But
yeah, Arodis Vizcaino again. He was already stashed in my NL only because the Braves made it clear he was next in line, but not. He is a closer now, so sure.
Yeah, there's nobody who's not a crossover that in an AL or NL only league that I would, you know, even come close to emptying out the bank for. You know, guys like Vizcaino, Chris Davis. You know, I'd make modest bids for those guys.
Gerardo Parra stay in the lineup every day now, you think?
Oh yeah.
Until he gets traded.
His OPS is like 900. It's the year he's having is just incredible.
All right. More emails. Nolan, Scott was right to be skeptical of Adam Stad about Puig being the first Dodger to homer on his bobblehead game. Manny Ramirez did in 2009 with a dramatic pinch hit grand slam against the Reds, and I believe Matt Kemp may have done it too.
I think I remember the Manny day now.
Yeah, everybody does but me. And apparently the Associated Press too, because that was in their stat. That was their stat.
Okay. Sloppy reporting, Associated Press. Who are you associated with?
Yeah, what have you done for us lately? Rob from a Connecticut town of Adam's choice. Danbury.
Good choice.
I was counting on Gardner and Ellsbury to keep me afloat in the steals department. Will they ever run again?
Will they ever run again? Yes. Ellsbury I trust a lot more too than Gardner because that's Ellsbury's game. I mean, there's not really anything more he brings to the table. Gardner is probably going to be a 20-25 steals guy at this stage of his career, not somebody who's going to carry you in the category.
This is from the other Scott. He says, "Dear Keith, Neil, and Rick, hint, June 15th, 1983.
It was a long time ago. That was before my birth.
Yeah, me too. Al?
Sounds like me.
Yeah, I was
from
high school right about then.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to think what that could be.
Well, he asks, better AL-only stash in a head-to-head league, Doolittle or Velasquez?
I think Velasquez is, especially since it's head-to-head.
And is Jesse Chavez burning out, or is he just in a rough patch?
Yeah, I don't think he's burning out. I just think he's not really that good. I think, you know, I think he can have a good stretch again, but I don't expect him to be consistently good.
And then an email from Leonard in Ohio, from the hometown of the 1979 Game 7 winner of the World Series. This is the guy who thought he was in the only city in three counties in the country, and then he said, after your discussion, I researched and found out just how wrong I was. So much for trusting social media without verifying. But he's been playing fantasy baseball for 29 years, so we'll give him a break. Now he wants to know, would you rather have Oliveira or Pedro Alvarez in a 5x5 league?
I would rather have Oliveira.
I vote for Pedro.
Kyle Jeffs from Canada has a daily fantasy question. I know BVP is useful. Yes, you guys, told you. Rajay Davis, by the way, thank you.
I know it's useful.
But what about BVT, batter versus team?
It's so unfortunate that Heath is not here for this.
You guys are crazy. It's crazy. I dismiss your dismissal of BVP. It is ridiculous.
Well, if you think I'm dismissive of BVP, it's nothing compared to my utter disdain for BVT. Because it is, as Seinfeld put, rooting for laundry. It's kind of like the point Scott made earlier about prices splits at Rogers Center. It's like, you know, teams within a span of, you know, even 2 years, team can be pretty radically different.
Okay.
I think Adam actually made that point, but the point is taken either way.
Take the credit, Scott.
Okay.
And Mike,
so nitpicky today.
Mike from Cotter, would you rather have in your lineup as utility, or who would you rather have? Rank your top three. Aaron Hicks, Miguel Sano, Carlos Santana, Randall Grichuk, Jung Ho Kang, and Preston Tucker. Who are your top three?
Well, I'm excited about Hicks, but there's no way I'm taking him over Santana or Sano, Santana being the number one.
Well, so is Hicks three for you? Ahead of Grichuk, Kang, and Tucker?
Probably. I mean, Tucker's a matchups guy. Grichuk, maybe in Roto I'd take Grichuk over Hicks, but it's a close call in that, and points, definitely Hicks.
Points for me, Kang, and Roto, Grichuk.
But Santana, Sano is an easy one, too, there.
Yeah.
So, to go over yesterday's games, unless there's anything I'm missing here, I got some hitters and pitchers who stood out. I didn't really go too deep into the box scores today. I wanted to do a little bit different stuff. Carlos Santana was the first guy I was going to talk about. He's doing it again. Since the All-Star break, 267, 400 on base, and a .511 slugging percentage with two homers and five doubles. I think we kind of predicted a big second half for Santana, right? I know I did. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
those numbers aren't enough to convince me that it's happening again, because for the year, his OBP is like 360. So the fact that it's 400 in a couple weeks' time isn't really a game changer. But I do think there's a lot of correction coming with his batting average in particular.
Brandon Phillips is 71% owned, and he is the number 11 second baseman in points, number 8 in Roto. Phillips had a huge game yesterday. I think he was the first player since 1920, at least, to have two home runs, two steals, and seven RBI in a game. Something crazy like that. But that's what he did. What do you think about Phillips, the fact that he's a top 12 second baseman this year?
I wonder what he was before this game, because he hadn't really been doing a whole lot. And I seem to remember looking in the rankings recently and Phillips not being in the top 12. So, you know, I suspect that this was such a great game, it could have boosted him up a few spots.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. Like, he's a guy, every time I go and do, like, a really thorough rankings update, I check at each position how the players stack up to make sure nobody's slipping through the cracks for me. I don't have a guy buried who's actually having a great year. And Phillips is always much higher in real life than I want to put him. I think maybe the 13 steals have something to do with it, and I understand it was 11 before yesterday, but that's still a bit of a resurgence based on the direction he'd been trending. I can come up with at least 12 second basemen I'd rather have than him.
Right. I don't think, right. I have no interest in Brandon Phillips.
Right.
So, that's kind of why I brought him up, because despite the high ranking, he ain't that good. Justin Upton, 3 home runs in his last 4 games. And a weird stat for him, since he's on the trading block, slugging over 200 points higher at home than on the road. That doesn't really mean anything to me. I doubt it does to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, 3 home runs in his last 4 games for a streaky guy. Justin
He's
Upton.
Doing it again. Streaky, like you said.
Okay. He's still very cheap in daily. He's facing someone. Oh, Phelps today. So you could think about going with Justin Upton. Pitchers from yesterday. Carlos Carrasco. I really think that, well, first of all, he said he made a mechanical adjustment. He's hiding the ball better. But this is a complete game, 2-hitter, 7 strikeouts. 5 of his last 7 starts have been awesome. Carrasco got roughed up by Houston right after he almost threw a no-hitter. And he got roughed up by the White Sox, who are roughing up everybody now. But are you guys seeing a transformation in Carlos Carrasco?
I wouldn't call it a transformation. I would call it the, you know, positive regression that we were hoping and thinking we would see.
Gotcha. But you're encouraged right now by Carrasco.
Sure. Yeah.
So a lot of people
really discouraged.
Right. So how do you value him? Too. How do you value him rest of season?
As just a half step behind the aces.
Wow. Yeah, I'd say top 20.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on, more pitchers. Chris Bassitt, 6% owned. Is that too low for Chris Bassitt, 6%?
Just a little. He put up some nice numbers in AAA this year.
AJ Burnett has been terrible lately. Who's worried?
Ugh.
Me. I actually was doing a little bit of roster maintenance just before we started, and I was thinking about whether or not to drop him in a 12-team mix league.
CRA, as horrible as he's been, is now just 306. So they're I do think he's a solid pitcher, especially with Pittsburgh, but there's probably more regression coming still.
Right. I think if you look at what Burnett did when he was with the Pirates a few years ago, I think his ERAs were like 350, 330.
Yep.
Around there.
Yeah, now he had a super high strand rate, so I mean you figured it was gonna come back to 3. But you know, I think it's maybe more than regression right now.
Jimmy Nelson. Last 4 starts for Nelson. 2-1 with a .99 ERA, 11 walks, 27 strikeouts in 27 1/3, but no home runs allowed. So Nelson's 52% owned.
I'm reluctant to say, all right, this is it. Pick him up. He's breaking out, because he's been a guy of extreme highs and lows this season. And there were times, especially early in the year, when, oh, this is the next big picture to break through. And then he followed it up with, 5 innings, 6 earned runs or whatever. So I think he has the potential to take off, but I'm not so convinced it's happening now that I'm, rearranging my roster to add him.
And I've been pretty successful this year in making start sit decisions with Nelson based on lefty righty splits and the opponents he's facing. And if you look at the last 4 teams that he's faced, only the Dodgers were really a surprise in terms of him being able to. And I don't know what the line was against the Dodgers. I think it was good.
Yeah,
but the other matches were pretty good. The Cubs have really been awful offensively for at least a month or so.
Would you rather have Nelson or Taylor Youngman?
Oh, I'd rather have Nelson.
Me too.
Nelson or
Nelson.
Carlos Rodon.
Actually, I would rather have Nelson.
I think I'd rather have Rodon.
Nola or Nelson?
Nola.
I'll go Nelson again.
Interesting. Why so down on Nola?
I'll consider myself to be down on Nola, because he's been better than I thought he would be. I worry about run support with him, and I do worry about him struggling the more exposure he gets to major league hitters.
Next category, are these guys okay to drop? Michael Conforto, 48% owned.
I would say so. I might be reluctant in a 5 outfielder league, but even then, I don't think it's unthinkable.
Andrew Cashner, 77% owned.
I'm just going to say yes, just a fly yes to that.
Really?
Not that I think you have to drop him, but he's fringy.
Yep, agreed.
Phil Hughes, 85% owned.
Definitely okay.
Yep.
This is a tough one. Matt Shoemaker, 55% owned. 13 innings, no runs, 4 walks, 17 strikeouts in his last 2 starts. Matt Shoemaker.
Well, if I just said it's okay to drop Cashner and Hughes, I'm going to say the same thing for Shoemaker, because I don't think he's as valuable as those guys yet. And when Weaver comes back, he may not be at all if he's the one to lose his job, but he's pitching not to lose his job. Clearly, looking a lot like the guy he was down the stretch last year. And I'm not sure what to make of it. I mean, we saw him do it last year for two and a half months. So I don't think he's incapable of it. The fact that his strikeouts are up, and for a much longer stretch than these two starts, the home runs have really, really leveled out.
Yeah.
He's not an extreme home run allower anymore like he was at the start of the year. So he's an interesting pitcher right now, just not somebody I'm especially motivated to own.
Okay, Matt Shoemaker. I looked at the last 28 days of data, it's pretty much the month of July, and here are some interesting things I found. Jonathan Lucroy is the number one catcher in points leagues with a .281 batting average, but only number six in Roto. He has the most doubles at the catcher position in the last 28 days. He has the second most at-bats, and he doesn't strike out. So that would explain the difference. But Lucroy, it doesn't even seem like he's playing that well. Number one in points, number six in Roto in the last 28 days.
I'll admit I'm surprised, and I find that really encouraging, especially with the doubles total.
Yeah, and six doubles, also three more runs scored than any other catcher. So where do you guys have him? Like second still?
I believe so.
And should we? Is there a big difference with Lucroy in categories in Roto leagues?
I mean, you would figure he should be better in head-to-head. I think it was last year where he closed the gap, but I would definitely expect, if nothing else, greater consistency from him in a head-to-head points format.
Other catchers in the top six: Kurt Casale, JT Realmuto, Nick Hundley, and Chris Iannetta.
Yeah, I'm guessing none of those guys stick there.
Sounds like a pretty low threshold for catchers in the last 28 games. Yeah. Probably
we can understand Casale. I mean, he has been legitimately very good offensively.
He's had two good games.
No. Before that, he wasn't hitting for great average, but he was hitting for power. I mean, I think he's got what, something like six home runs now? Seven?
Seven.
Seven?
But more than half of them came in two games.
Fair enough.
Well, catchers suck. Derek Norris isn't in there, and he had a grand slam and had a huge game yesterday. Derek Norris has been terrible. Catchers are gross. If you had to pick one of those guys, well, it'd have to be Hundley, right?
If you have to pick one, it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though Realmuto is coming on. He is.
Prince Fielder, not a top 15 first baseman in his last 28 days.
28 days later, he will be.
You think so? He's still not hitting for any power. He's got 15 home runs.
Well, you say still, I think, isn't that part of why he's out of the top 15 last 28 days? Because he was hitting power for a while.
Well, he's not hitting for a high average in the last 28 days. You know, he's hitting .330 on the year, but slumping with the average, and he's got a career-high BABIP. So it's like, at some point, the average was going to come down, right?
Yeah. To some degree. I don't think 15 home runs is like, oh no, he doesn't have power anymore. I mean, obviously you get a lot of power from first base usually, but I think just a couple weeks ago, we were kind of having the same conversation about Joey Votto, and look what's happened since then.
The difference is that Fielder, you know, had something of a history of being a 40 home run guy. You know, Votto had one really good power year. So I'm happy to get these numbers from Votto. I admit I'm slightly disappointed to see them from Fielder, and I probably shouldn't be.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're comparing Fielder to his past standard, but if you compare him to somebody like Votto, I'm taking Votto ahead of him, but they're
yeah,
not.
No,
they're,
I think it's a perfect comp, and I'm basically saying, you know, I need to get my head out of certain places and, you know,
put them in other places.
And appreciate Fielder for what he actually does.
Johnny Giovitella is the number seven second baseman in points leagues over the last 28 days, but he's number 18 in Roto. Johnny Giovitella never strikes out. So that's the only explanation I could have for him being a number seven second baseman in points leagues.
Me too.
Yeah, that would be it.
Not interested?
No.
Todd Frazier. Uh-oh. Is it happening again?
16th in points. You've been waiting for this.
No, 16th in points, 24th in Roto, and I had come around, and I was like, nah, it's not going to happen this year. but 226 with two home runs in his last 28 days.
Justin Upton at the hot corner, maybe? Could be very explosive. His overall numbers are going to be great, and he is going to frustrate you for long periods of time.
But man, did he put on a show in the Derby.
Well, he said he was tired after the Derby, and he slumped immediately after. So he said
I would have been tired, too.
The whole week, he said, was tiring for him because it was, you know, his home ballpark, and he was in the All-Star game, and he was in the Derby. So that was a bit of an excuse, but he's gone cold again.
He needs a good night's sleep.
All right, Hanley Ramirez has been terrible. It's not just the last 28 days. It's since May 1st because he was unbelievable. 999 OPS for Hanley in April. Since May 1st, 686 OPS, 254, 295 on base, 390 slugging. Not a good year since the beginning of May for Hanley. What do you think happens the rest of season?
Well, I think he'll be fine because at least he has his defense to fall back on.
But honestly, at least he has his eligibility to fall back on. If he wasn't shortstop eligible in fantasy, it might be panic button time.
Yeah, and that'll be an interesting, you know, dilemma
next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Reyes or Hanley?
Hanley.
Yeah, that's tough. I'll go Reyes.
Gerardo Parra and Aaron Hicks are both top 10 outfielders over the last 28 days.
Aaron Hicks, man, telling you, breakthrough.
You think so?
The Buxton call-up lit a fire under him.
Yeah.
Which was a report I would have been skeptical. I would have just dismissed if right after those reports he hadn't gone on the best run of his career. So I've always liked the underlying skill set. Very good plate discipline for as bad as he was his first 2 years. And he was a top 100 Baseball America prospect the 4 years leading up to his call-up. You don't see many hitters pull it off, or you don't see many prospects pull it off 4 years in a row. So as kind of a poor man's AJ Pollock, I think it's time to pick him up in points leagues.
Okay, keep your eye on Aaron Hicks. And Craig Kimbrell is the number one relief pitcher in fantasy over the last 28 days. He has 10 saves and 4 hits and 10 and a third, no runs, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts. Still not striking out people like the old Craig Kimbrell, but 0.48 whip.
Yep, I'll still take it.
Going to be great Yankees closer in about 2 hours.
Hey, well, man, it's the Royals model. Miller, Betances, and Kimbrell?
Yeah, no. I think they should get another reliever. I just don't think they should get another closer. Why pay a lot for a closer? Okay. Anyway,
yeah, I agree.
Week 18 is coming up, and we want you to play FanDuel, by the way, because we love FanDuel. So FanDuel.com right now, you should go there because FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy sports. You get a brand new team any day you want, and entry fees start at just $1. Play anytime you want, any day you want, all summer long, and as we go into the fall as well, you'll be able to play FanDuel up until, well, you'll be able to play in the playoffs as well. They don't stop at the end of the regular season. So go to FanDuel.com, use our offer code CBSPOD, and for every dollar you deposit, up to $200, FanDuel's gonna match it with dollar for dollar, up to $200 that gets earned as you play. CBSPOD's the offer code, and FanDuel.com/CBSPOD is also the tournament we want you to join for $2. Play against us every day. FanDuel.com/CBSPod.
Pod.
Quick week 18 advice since things have gone a little long today.
All right.
Scott, if you could pick maybe like 5 hitters, 5 pitchers.
You want me to give you the matchups?
If you can do them quickly, sure.
All right. Best matchups, Nationals, Cardinals, Mariners, Tigers, and Astros. And the worst matchups are the Pirates, Rays, Phillies, Rockies, and Angels. So, taking those into consideration, there are a fair number of hitters I like today. I mentioned the Astros as the best matchups. All righties, Preston Tucker time. Am I right?
Yeah, there you go.
You're right.
I'm right. For the Nationals, who had the very best matchups, Ryan Zimmerman's been solid in 3 games since returning. I think a couple doubles and a home run. And
thank you for reminding me. I forgot about someone very important.
Okay.
Rusney Castillo. Should we be looking to pick him up? He's been solid since being recalled. He's coming back.
Well, since we're transitioning from Zimmerman, I can't help but compare the two, and Castillo's not nearly as established as Zimmerman, so it's harder for me to buy into a three-game stretch from him.
Okay.
But I think I'm still just monitoring him from a distance.
Bruce Nay or Hicks?
Hicks.
Al?
Hicks.
Okay. Back to Scott.
Also, Michael Taylor's been on fire. Last seven days, or games, I'm not sure which, but three home runs and three steals. And Denard Span's not on the verge of returning, so it's a good week to play him. Randall Grichuk, good matchups for the Cardinals again. Mike Zunino, if you need a catcher, he's really been productive recently, and the Mariners have good matchups. There's not as many hitters I don't like this week. The five worst matchups I gave, they are genuinely bad matchups, but the hitters are either also high-end or low-end on those teams. I'd avoid Gregory Polanco, who has been hitting better recently. I might avoid Jung Ho Gong, but at shortstop, you may just have no choice but to roll with him. Steven Souza is a hitter I really don't like this week. He's been horrible since coming back from the DL, and the Rays have bad matchups.
Ready to go to pitchers?
I'm ready, yes.
Okay. Al? Okay, Felix Hernandez is at Colorado and home against Texas.
Start him.
Masahiro Tanaka, Boston and Toronto at home.
I would start him as well.
John Lackey, two road starts at Cincinnati and at Milwaukee.
Yeah, definitely not starting Lackey.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, really.
Well, Milwaukee doesn't have Gomez.
He doesn't offer a whole lot on the road in general. And I think those, even without Carlos Gomez, I think the Brewers could be a tough matchup for him. And I definitely think the Reds could be.
What if Bruce is gone?
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I still think that's risky for Lackey.
When's the last time John Lackey had a bad start, though?
Yeah, no, it hasn't
happened. A couple months, right?
Next week.
Next week. Okay.
Oh, man. We've got Quintana as Tampa Bay and at Kansas City. If he's still available, get him. Don't start Phil Hughes at Toronto and at Cleveland. Al, what else? What else you got? How about Lance McCullers at Texas, at Oakland?
Yeah, I mean, assuming he's still in the rotation, I would be fine with starting McCullers. He's getting picked up really quickly because he's really red hot, or even white hot. But Chris Tillman, still available in about a third of the CBSSports.com leagues, at Oakland, at the Angels. And I actually talked to him briefly yesterday because I was really curious about a couple of things. The same time that he started going on this hot streak, which has been lasting about a month now, he has been pitching from the middle of the rubber instead of the side. He's started throwing a sinker, and he's taken about 2 miles an hour off of his changeup. And he said all three things were intentional.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Good
said
stuff.
He didn't have the feel for his four-seamer anymore, so he made a change, and it seems to be working out for him. So I think he's a must-add this week.
Chris Tillman. Okay, how about Andrew Cashner, two starts at Milwaukee and home against Philly.
I would not prioritize him. I'll put it that way.
Justin Verlander, Royals and Red Sox at home.
I would. I'm intrigued by Verlander, and I think mostly because, well, some uncertainty I have, and because of the Royals, I would sit him and take a wait and see approach for one more week.
Colby Lewis, Patrick Corbin.
Colby Lewis, no. Corbin, yes, all caps, exclamation point.
Oh, excellent. Marco Estrada, Minnesota and at the Yankees.
Nope.
Brett Anderson, at Philly, at Pittsburgh.
Yep, that's good. That works.
Ooh, here's a fun one. The horribly terrible Bartolo Colon, recently horribly terrible. At Miami and at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that kind of is intriguing. I think there's more good options this week than we've seen since before the break. So I have enough worries that Colon could actually implode even against those teams. I would not start him.
So then if you like some options, who are guys that I haven't mentioned that you like to pick up this week?
Yeah, you've hit some of them. Jimmy Nelson, we have talked about, I think it's two more good matchups for him at home against the Padres and Cardinals. He's owned in roughly half of our leagues. So I like him a lot. Jake Peavy, owned in only about a quarter of our leagues, has been really good since coming off the DL. really good control, pretty good matchups at the, actually, I think excellent matchups at the Braves, at the Cubs. So, you know, if you whiff on trying to get guys like Corbin or Tillman, I would make PV my next priority.
Lovely. That'll do it?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm not quite ready to take the plunge on Zach Godley or Willie Peralta, but I think they may get there soon.
FanDuel. Here we go. So we're giving away 5 free entries into the contest today, into the CBS Pod contest. Tweet me at Adam Azer. 5 free entries. I'll pick them at random. And again, tweet me at Adam Azer, AIZER. Oh, no, wait. That was yesterday, or that was Wednesday. We're not giving that away today. We're giving 2 free entries away today to the to the MLB rally. So not.
Did
5.
Anybody guess your reason for being out?
Nobody guessed it correctly. No.
Okay.
We had some funny guesses, but they weren't right. So anyway, tweet me 2 free entries to the MLB rally today. And with that said, Clayton Kershaw is, I think, 13,500.
13-3. Way off.
Well, I think I'm going to make 2 lineups today. I'm going to make a Kershaw lineup, and it's pretty doable. Got a full slate. You got some good cheap hitters that I like. And I'm going to make a Ian Kennedy lineup. $7,800 at Miami. He just pitched well against Miami. He's actually been pitching pretty well lately. So I like Kennedy.
Well, you know how I poo-pooed the Kennedy lineup idea?
Well, you did that before.
I found it really hard to pick a tournament pitcher for today.
Well, Kennedy would be my guy.
I went because mine probably sounds like a far worse idea than Kennedy. I went Hector Santiago facing off against Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's clearly contrarian, and I actually think the Dodgers present a pretty good matchup for him.
Let me just bring this one thing up. Kershaw's amazing, and I got no beef with him, but he did get his start pushed back because of a minor injury. So does that scare you at all?
It scares me a little, not enough to not start him, but enough to make me want to start Santiago in a tournament, because just on the off chance that Kershaw's not right, I think it could be a very big night for Santiago.
What about Carlos Rodon as a tournament play coming off maybe his best start of the season?
I could see it.
I think that he was like the next guy I was considering.
Yeah, 6,500. So that's cheap. What's Santiago's price? Because 7,800. He's cheap too. So yeah.
And Kennedy's 7,800. Santiago is 7,800 as well?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, some of the hitters I like. Baltimore's facing Buck Farmer. So Wieters is 2,800. Chris Davis is 4,000. I had Manny Machado in my lineup. I might get him back in there because I was trying to make a Kershaw lineup. It's pretty doable, actually.
Yep.
Marlon Byrd.
Adam Jones at 2,900.
Adam Jones at 2,900. Absolutely. Marlon Byrd at 2,200. Actually, yesterday, Scott and I were talking about you got to start Byrd against Jeff Locke because he's a lefty and Byrd kills lefties. Well, it turns out Locke didn't even start and Byrd homered anyway.
But yeah.
Now again, going Byrd. 2,200 bucks for Byrd. Gregory Polanco, 2,500 bucks. He's been playing well. And Polanco is a lefty facing a righty pitcher who is Michael Lorenzen, I think, who has been terrible against lefties.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go Jones, Byrd, Polanco in your outfield, all for about an average of 2,600. Matt Carpenter is 2,700. The Cardinals are facing Kyle Kendrick. So Carpenter's still cheap. Johnny Peralta has dropped to 2,600. Those are some cheap options for you.
I've got, Nori Aoki, who I know has done pretty much nothing since coming off the DL, going up against Nick Martinez. I think that could be a slump buster for him.
Totally.
Jose Iglesias versus, Wei-Yin Chen at 2,500. Very good against lefties. But also Eugenio Suarez. I really had a tough choice picking between the two, so I like Iglesias a little bit better in a cash game, but Suarez at 2,200 against who are the Reds?
They're playing
against Locke.
Yeah. Oh, right. So that's good.
So yeah. So I like Suarez at 2,200.
Yeah. So I made this Ian Kennedy lineup, and I have $3,000 to spend, which gives you an idea of how good the values are at hitter today. So what are the stacks we like? We like St. Louis against Kyle Kendrick. We like the Orioles against Buck Farmer.
Orioles are my favorite.
I don't know that I like the Royals against Hutchison just because Hutchison has been good at home and better against lefties, and the Royals have a lot of lefties. Jeff Locke, Lorenzen, that should be a high-scoring game. Anything else?
No, just a couple of other cheap players that I just want to toss in there. We talk about Orioles stack. I've got Jonathan Scope at 2,400. And I also really like Austin Jackson tonight at 2,500 against Tommy Malone.
I would not start Jason Hamill, by the way. He has not been pitching well. I'm not sure he's healthy. He left a start in early July with an injury and has been garbage since then.
So garbage.
I'm not saying I'd stack against Jason Hamill, but he had a decent start at Cincinnati, but it was just decent. He has not been very good. So avoid him. Also, avoid Bryce Harper. Harper is 0 for 14 with 7 strikeouts against Matt Harvey, and he is $5,000, second to only Mike Trout in the outfield.
I have Bryce Harper in my tournament lineup, and I will keep him there.
No, don't do it. It's 0 for 14 with 7 strikeouts, Al.
You go by the BVP. I'll go by just the sheer awesomeness.
of Bryce Harper, but also what about the awesomeness of Matt Harvey?
Bryce Harper has been much more awesome.
I cannot support this.
Yeah, I don't either. Not so much because of the BVP specifically.
No, it's exact. 100% the BVP, admit it.
No.
In a tournament lineup for upside?
I don't start anybody against Harvey, ever.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Unless it's a weird scenario where it's $2,200.
Are you literal about when in doubt, go Trout?
When I'm
no,
literal,
not
but,
when he has
I mean,
a wrist
it's
injury.
It's prefaced on when in doubt. And I wouldn't have doubt going with Trout against Harvey. I would not.
You would not go Trout.
Right.
Okay, I was being
because there wouldn't be doubt.
And I'm all about, at any price, start Bryce. So, so there I go.
Well, listen, you can't not go Mike Trout or Bryce Harper tonight. Because Harper, you'll do it, Al, but I won't because of the BVP and because of Harvey. And Trout's facing Kershaw, and he just came off a wrist injury. You can't justify $5,600 for Mike Trout tonight.
You can't. You can justify 46 for Andrew McCutchen against Michael Lorenzen.
Oh, yeah.
Really
you could do that.
Got that money burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah, in fact, I think
I've got them both in my tournament lineup.
I'm going to take Gregory Polanco out and put in Andrew McCutchen. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
And I still have $900. So so take that, FanDuel. God, I'm going to win. outstanding. all right, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Scott and Al, you guys take it easy.
You too, Adam. Happy weekend.